George R., compulsive overeater. Thanks so much, Rich, for inviting me. To get the numbers out of the way, I'm 6'3". Came into the rooms 9 years ago at 275 pounds. Got abstinent about 8 years ago and have been maintaining a 65 to 70 pound weight loss, more or less at a healthy body weight. I'm not supposed to go way, way, way lower. That's me. How did I get? I'm just going to assume that everybody in here enter these rooms not on a winning streak. I had to firebomb just truly enough areas of my life where I was willing to accept somebody else's ideas to make sense of what I should do next. God bless you if you're young, but I was just not ready in my 20s or 30s to give up me being the boss of everything. I had to be, 70 pounds overweight, 30 grand in credit card debt, between jobs. That's a sweet, loving way to phrase it. I was just really like, it wasn't, stuff wasn't working. And so I had a friend who she pulled me aside and said, "Hey, I just got a chip." And I didn't know what she was talking about. And she explained to me how she admitted powerlessness over alcohol and that she had been going to AA for about a year and that there was this thing called a chip. And I had done an intervention with her 10 years even before that. And so I was riveted by here's a person that was doing something really hard, older, and I don't even drink. So there was no like implication of, don't you think you're like that with Snickers? No, it was just she just told her story, and I'm self-involved enough that I was able to piece together that a lot of the phrasing there was certainly applied to the way that I was handling food. Because I'm assuming, again, maybe I shouldn't assume, but I had to try so many outrageous kind of diety things before I was willing to come to a 12-step program. So I had skipped lunch every day. I had only drinks. I'd had no sugar. I'd had only sugar. I would take two spin classes back to back and then count up on my app how many Oreos that would allow me to have. I mean, I just did all the things that you do before you admit defeat. And then another part of my story on how I ended up in here was, I have no experience watching anyone post 40 that organically got better at something that they were terrible at without a massive religious conversion, cancer, divorce, a leg amputation. Like something had to really go wrong for a person to all of a sudden be good at something they were bad at. Again, I'm not 27-year-olds. My dad smoked a pack a day, and then 25, he was like, "I'm done," and he did. It was done, right? So I think younger people can just decide to be better at something they're bad at. But I just had no exam. I had no experience. I'd never watched anyone just get better at something without something really outrageous, without a diagnosis, we'll call it. So for whatever reason, I was, I was just gaining weight, gaining weight, gaining weight, and my life clearly was unmanageable. And so, after she told me about that, I didn't even connect the dots at like, oh, I wonder if there's a 12-step program. I just Googled getting on a plane, having just left a barbecue restaurant in Dallas Airport. I just Googled, what do people do that can't stop eating? And Overeaters Anonymous popped up. And so then I thought, all right, I'll I went to, I found a handful of meetings, Noon and Glendora. I found meetings where it was like no one looked like me. It was like it was like grandma after grandma after grandma. So I didn't know there were men that were that this was a struggle with, and so finally someone tugged on my sleeve and said, go to a meeting in Studio City on Sunday mornings. There's a bunch of, 7:30 in the morning. I was like, really? Okay. And I went. The guy who was sharing that, who was doing this that week, he sounded manic and nuts. And he had like, about 100 pounds off for 8 years. And I remember hearing him talk and thinking he didn't sound like a robot. He sounded like somebody that like gets in fights and is like a real person. And I remember thinking, there's no way I could keep 100 pounds off for 8 years. Like that just sounded impossible. And so I knew enough about people saying sponsorship that I just grabbed him and I said, will you be my sponsor? And he made me jump through a number of hoops to see if I'm even like, if I will fall through with anything I say I'm going to do. And so he wanted me to send him my food. And so then I was like, and you mean, and I, what, no flour, no sugar, no. And he's like, oh, whoa, man, I don't know if you can do one thing you say you're going to do. You're not going to give up 1,000 foods before I know. Can you literally do anything you say you're going to do? So it was great. So I was sending him, pictures of candy. I mean, like, I was like, hey, if I can eat anything, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. Great. Like, so I kind of did what he said for about a month. And then to this day, I don't understand why I just kind of ghosted him for the next 3 months. I guess I was, coaching youth sports. My daughters were a certain age where I still had a lot of things that could easily get in the way of this, which is code word for I just wanted to eat more. But I'm phrasing it like it was really thought out. So then, I kind of, by the way, when I'm self-sponsoring, it's called bulking up, gaining weight. So I didn't like the direction I was going there, and so kind of tail between my legs, I went back and said, okay, I'm ready to start, and so he worked through with me. If you're brand new, we went through a way to figure out what my alcoholic foods were. And that was just like, for an alcoholic, it doesn't matter if it's beer or vodka, that's just, it's off. And so, because I'm eating three meals, because I'm now like having, I have to eat something. The key was there were these certain foods, and it's different for everybody, but there were these certain foods that my sponsor ran it through this kind of grid where I had to either have an allergy of the body where like there's a food that when I eat it, I have no idea like how many I'm gonna have or whether I'm gonna follow through with what I say I'm gonna do. The way that he phrased it is like things that I've lost the power of choice around. So I Rich, you can go and like nod if I'm allowed to say the name of a food, yes or no. Okay, so I just lost the power of choice around pizza. So I might be awesome for 3 weeks straight. I might say I'm gonna have two slices and I have two slices. But I promise you, fast forward the tape, there's gonna be some day where my best idea is to go to the round table pizza buffet and have unending. So I just kind of lost the power of choice. And a way he phrased it that I loved is like things that I could no longer eat like a gentleman, because there's plenty of food I can eat like a gentleman, because I don't want unending carrots or something. So I had to have an allergy of the body where I kind of wasn't in control of of how much I had, or an obsession of the mind where I just couldn't even like deal with life because of my fixation of a certain thing. And then, the way that we worked it is he's like the Supreme Court, and I would have to present to him. I couldn't say like, hey, I think bread is hard for me, I want to get rid of it. He would say no. Like I wasn't running the show, so I had to like present him with a case on why I couldn't handle that thing, which seemed crazy. I just thought you'd want me to give up 1,000 foods, but he knew, hey, you being perfect for 6 weeks and then binging and gaining 150 pounds, that doesn't do me any good. So let's just see if you can have a lifestyle change where you, for the first time in your life, do whatever you committed to do that day. Because, spoiler alert, that's what ends up being what allowed me to lose 70 pounds was I had to get fired as the CEO of my food choices. So is that 10, Rich? All right, perfect. Thanks. So what happened was, I had an alcoholic food list now, and then my sponsor set up a world to where, to put it in like jailable terms, meeting my alcoholic food list was like murder and you're going to jail. And everything else was like gossip or a parking ticket. It was, I don't know why he did that, but he really set up to where me taking my first compulsive bite was absolute, no discussion, start over. That's like called me getting drunk. But me doing a bunch of other stuff that's like not correct for whatever reason, like I'm a compulsive overeater. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to kind of mess up. It's progress, not perfection. I don't know why. I don't know why he ranked one as such a big deal. And then the others were like, negotiable even. And so I just sort of did everything I could to avoid my alcoholic foods, even if it meant I kind of floundered and some other things. And so I'd say for about the first year and a half, I did this program about 80%. And so, if you do the program 80%, you give up, pizza and chocolate and whatnot. I lost 35 pounds. And so people are giving me compliments. Hey, your neck looks skinny, but I knew I was still overweight and I knew I wasn't getting the spiritual stuff that people were talking about. The guys that had what I wanted, they were not, and by guys, I mean guys and girls, they were talking about like life and forgiveness, being of service. They were on, their issues weren't like how much oatmeal are you having? They seemed like they were kind of doing like grad level work, and I was just in like writing studio 101 trying, like I was still looking for loopholes. I was not experiencing what the people that had what I want were experiencing. They really truly seemed different than me. And so what happened was, I don't know, I'd love to phrase this more heroically, but I decided for a month I was gonna be 100% violently honest. I was gonna not that every single day. I even grabbed some random dude in program and said, "Hey, can I text you a thumbs up if I completely tell the truth about everything I ate to my sponsor that day? The next morning, can I text you a thumbs up?" And then I wasn't reading a lot, so another guy would say, "Hey, I'm gonna say start, and then I'm gonna text you stop." When I do my like four today, when I do the reading. And then I had another person like, "Hey, I want to be more in the middle of the herd. I'm going to try to make three outreach calls a day. Can I just text you a thumbs up on whether I made three outreach?" I would watch the people that had what I wanted, and I would ask them like, how do you deal with night eating, or how do you do? And they all were looking at me like, "Why are you awake at night? Like, what are you doing? Like, what?" Like, their whole life revolved around abstinence. And like they knew it wasn't a fair fight at 1 in the morning, reading the news that they weren't gonna like eat. So they're just like, they wake up early, they have an omelet, they're of service, their head hits the pillow, and they're out. And so I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. My whole day revolved around honesty and being of service and abstinence. Yeah, I'm tapping out at a certain point of night. It's not a fair fight, me watching a movie with my wife and daughters at midnight. Like I'm gonna have dinner at 11:45 p.m. if we're watching a movie at midnight. And so I got honest, and I swear, those next, I don't know, 5 or 6 months, 35 more pounds flew off. It's like the problem was me. The problem was me. And here's another thing. So when I say I was doing the program 80%, I would have told you I was doing it 100. I'm going to meetings. Come on, I'm being sponsored. I'm the literature chair at one of the meetings. You know what I mean? Like I was convinced I was kind of like a hero of this story. And then what happened was, when I actually dropped all the pretense and I literally did not tell one untruth for a month, was I desperately needed to access power from God or a higher power, I needed to access power more. I needed to, all those tools you read at the beginning, I needed to try every single tool out and see which one works. You know what works for me for some reason 100% of the time? If I text, my sponsor suggested this because I was struggling with the coffee cake at Starbucks. And so I was like, and I have to go into Starbucks for work. My job, I'm like delivering drinks, we'll call it, to people in offices. And so he said, here's what I want. Are you willing to commit to the next time you want that? You'll text five people that you feel like you're in danger and you're about to go in someplace and then text them when you get out. And that's worked for me. I'm vapid enough that me checking in with other people makes me follow through somehow with it. I don't understand why, but like that tool, me praying, that works about 50% of the time. But for some reason, me texting five individuals, Rich included, really want the coffee cake. I'm going into Starbucks and I'm telling you I'm not having one thing and I'll text you when I'm out. That has worked 100% of the time, and I don't know why. And who cares? And I don't, maybe it'll stop working, but my sponsor had me literally try every tool. And now I have the experience of a bunch of tools that work great, and they work for me, and they work every time. And so he's like, if it worked yesterday, conceivably it's going to work today. And so I don't have to rethink, you know, how things work. I have the experience of reaching out, accessing power from God, from the group, from whatever. I started making three outreach calls, and my abstinence got way simpler. And it doesn't matter who picks up. It's just I would make the three outreach calls before listening to a podcast because I'm not going to want to make the call if I'm listening to the podcast. So then I make the outreach calls, and then 3 weeks later, someone calls back. I'm just in the middle of the herd. I'm making friends. It's been so much easier. And so, you know, I have a routine that keeps me safe. That's it. It's as simple as that. Is this routine that I have right now, working with guys, sponsoring people, going to in-person meetings, going to like pre-COVID, the last four times I blew my abstinence and had to start over. I thought my sponsor was going to kind of ream me a new one on that. And every single time, literally the last four times, he said, when's the last physical meeting you went to? And I swear, like some kind of Jedi mind trick, it was always like 2 weeks or something. Like for some reason, I was able to like organically as a person put together like, oh, every time I don't go to meetings, I get a great idea about pizza. It's like my brain is like glitching and unable to just follow through with what I say I want to do. And what my sponsor did for me, that which really helped, I don't know if any of you kind of grew up in a I'm good, I'm bad kind of religious system, or you a lot of your gaining weight has been punishing yourself for not being perfect. I mean, OA is the least spectacular room of perfectionists I've ever seen in my life. It's like a bunch of people that are perfectionists that we just got huge because of that. I it's so crazy. So what my sponsor did was he took the pressure of perfectionism or doing it right or good or bad, he took it off the table. He said, you're a compulsive overeater. So what you're supposed to do is compulsively overeat. So you regretting the past about screwing up in a whole bunch of ways, it's like you literally did the best you could. And so that part's gone. The like, I'm a screw up. Why did I lose all this money? Why did I firebomb all these things in my house? Because I was supposed to, because that was the best I could do. That was literally the best I could do. And now I have a new way of living, a new way of tackling things, a new way of being of service. But I don't get to overeat because of me beating myself up before. And so all my sponsor did was he laid up, did you follow through with your commitment? And I'd say like, yeah, but I eat a lot of carbs. He's like, is that what we talked about? Was your commitment around carbs? No. Okay, well then I don't care. Like I was always asking him questions. Thank you. So I was, is it 2 minutes? Like, okay. So thank you. I was always, what I wish I knew then is I found somebody that had what I wanted. And then what I needed to do is just shut up and take his direction. He's rooting for me. He wants me to succeed. He is privy to the craziness that is in front of me that I don't even see yet in myself. And what happened was, it took me a while to relent and just kind of surrender. And at some point I just tried to make it his fault if I gained weight. I just said, I'm going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. I'm going to do exactly what I say. And I needed more help when I got completely honest. And when I got completely honest, I was able to get out of the way. This is like a thinking problem. It's not a food problem. I think everybody here knows that like broccoli is probably better for you than ice cream, blah, blah, blah. Like at 274, I was like, I'm going to have a whole pizza. That's a great idea. It's like a thinking problem. I'm going to have ice cream if I've had a terrible day. I'm also going to have ice cream if I've had an incredible day. I'm also going to have ice cream if nothing really has happened yet today. Wait, I just created a world where I have ice cream in any scenario. And so a lot of going through the steps, accessing power from a source that's not me, has made for a completely different like living experiences. And trust me, my wife and daughters are definitely experiencing a different husband and father with me being abstinent and just kind of doing what I say I'm going to do. That's new. That is not the hallmark of a lot of 12 steppers, as we follow through with everything we say we're going to do. So, I just feel super lucky that, there was a way to exchange my ideas for somebody that basically had better ideas around this, and it's all in the big book. And then, I've just had a much smoother life and not in fight with the world because of this program. And I feel super lucky. And the only reprieve is to just do it again today, and then do it again tomorrow, and then do it again the next day, not to overthink the future. That's it. I think that's my time. Thank you so much for letting me share. I will stick around for the Q&A time in the parking lot, but I really appreciate everyone being here. And by the way, I'm so sorry everybody's here, but we all gotta lose somehow. So I'm glad you were here when I was ready to exchange my terrible ideas for your good ideas.